Chapter number 15, Purushottama Yoga, the Supreme Person. The Supreme Lord said, "It is said in the scriptures that this material world is like a peepal tree, roots up, branches down, endless yet transient. Its leaves represent the nourishing verses of the Vedas. One who knows this tree is a knower of the Vedas." Commentary: the roots of the tree of this world are said to face upwards. Its root cause is the highest plane. It is manifest by the potency of the Supreme Lord. However, it is rooted in aversion to the Lord. Its branches are said to face downwards, since according to the law of karma, all species of life from the highest to the lowest branch out from it. It is known as an ashvatta tree. The word ashvatta means ephemeral, or that which does not remain in the same state for even a day. Yet it is endless, in the sense that it constantly appears in the natural flow of cause and effect. And by the word endless is a footnote, which is, the peepal tree is known for its longevity. And back to the commentary. The leaves of the tree represent the fruitive verses of the Vedas, Karmakanda. As the leaves of a tree nourish and beautify it, these verses similarly encourage and illuminate the world. The external potency of the Lord, Maya, is eternal, and it manifests this world. Yet the world itself is perishable, inasmuch as it again becomes unmanifest. Although the fruitive verses of the Vedas provide its nourishment, their underlying purpose is rather to enlighten the conditioned souls to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to the mundane. Thus, one who knows these fundamental principles is a knower of the true essence of the Vedas. That's the end of the commentary, and back to the text, verse 2 of chapter 15. Some of its branches extend upwards, as the planes of the demigods and celestial beings. Some of the branches extend downwards, as the planes of the humans, animals, and lower species. And, nourished by the three modes of nature, its shoots are the objects of the senses. Some aerial roots also extend downwards, to take root in the land of karma, within the human plane. And here again a commentary. Within the expansive manifestation of this perishable yet endless world, some of the living beings are nourished by the mode of goodness, and they wander throughout the upper planes, in the ego of gods and celestial beings. Others, influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance, are wandering throughout the planes of the humans, animals, trees, and lower species, assuming the identities of those species. The shoots of the tree of this world represent the objects of the senses, sound, smell, touch, taste, and form, as transformations of the five primary subtle elements, pancha tanmatra, produced from the ego of the living beings. The principal roots face upwards, inverted, indicating aversion to the Supreme Lord. Further, some aerial roots face downward, entering the land of karma in the human plane. These represent the humans' attempt to enjoy the fruits of their actions, and these aerial roots nourish the tree as a separate, secondary cause. End of this commentary. Returning to the text. Text 3 of chapter 15 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In the human plane, this inverted form of the people tree of this material world is inconceivable without Vedic knowledge. Neither its beginning, nor its middle, nor its end can be perceived. From the association of devotees, one acquires the sharp axe of detachment from the mundane. Using this weapon to cut down that illusory tree of one's mundane existence, which is stubbornly rooted in aversion to the Supreme Lord, one attains to the plane of no return, which is the lotus feet of the Lord. With pure devotion, one should approach the holy lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu for shelter and pray, "I surrender unto the original person, the Supreme Lord of all, by whose illusory potency, Maya, this perpetual tree of the material world has appeared." Free from vanity and delusion, aloof to unholy association, dedicated to self-realization, desireless, liberated from the duality of joy and sorrow, undeluded, those surrendered souls reach the eternal goal. The surrendered souls reach my eternal abode, never to return to this world. Neither sun, nor moon, nor fire, nothing can illuminate that all-illuminating supreme abode. The soul is a particle, potency, of mine. Although it is eternal, for worldly existence it adopts the 5 mundane senses and the mind, which is the 6th. The soul is the master of the body. When it departs the body, it goes to enter another, carrying these subtle senses, as the wind carries fragrance from its source. Presiding over the ear, eye, skin, tongue, and nose, and also the mind, the living entity enjoys the sense objects of sound, form, touch, taste, and smell. Those who are thus deluded cannot see the soul when it is departing the body, residing in the body, or when enjoying through the senses in the body. Those with the eyes of wisdom can see. And the sincere seekers see the soul present within. But persons of poor understanding and lacking in self-control cannot see the soul despite their endeavors. The light of the sun that illuminates the entire universe, the light of the moon and the radiance of fire, know that to be mine. Entering the earth, I maintain all beings by my potency, and in the form of the life-giving moon, I nourish the crops. Entering into the bodies of the living beings as the power of digestion, I digest the 4 types of eatables, chewed, sucked, licked, and drunk, through the agency of the ascending and descending vital airs. I am situated, as the Supersoul, within the heart of all souls, and from me arises the soul's remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, according to his actions. I alone am the sweet absolute to be known through all the Vedas. I am the revealer of the Vedanta, Veda Vyas, and I am the knower of the Vedas. In this world there are 2 types of beings, the perishable and the imperishable. All beings, from Lord Brahma down to the lowest stationary life forms, are known as perishable, as they are fallen from their true nature. But those who are situated in their eternal spiritual nature are known as imperishable, eternal associates of the Lord. But completely distinct from both of these types of beings is the Supreme Person, who is known as Paramatman, the Supersoul. He is the Supreme Lord. Entering the 3 worlds in his eternal form, he maintains all beings in the universe. Because I am transcendental to the perishable beings and also superior to my imperishable eternal associates,
My glories are sung in the world and in the scriptures as Purushottam, the Supreme Person. O Bharat, one who is free from delusion and knows me as the Supreme Person of eternal, all-conscious, ecstatic form, is the perfect knower of full-fledged theism, and he worships me in all ways. In the spiritual relationships of tranquility, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and consorthood. O pure-hearted Arjuna, I have thus explained to you this most hidden treasure of all the scriptures. O Bharat, embracing this in their hearts, the persons of fine theistic intelligence attain the perfection of their endeavors. End of chapter 15. The Supreme Person. From the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the Holy Scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses.